Listen, listen. Famous heaven, West Jamaica. Sure is a mountain shining down the river. All my friends there, pulling on those reeds, younger than the mountain, going like a bee.
You're listening to The Baby Bunker. I'm your host, Amelia Eagle, and the topic today is topographical. We're talking about mountains. These landscape features that make up a lot of our island are sprinkled all across the world. They've been inspiring mankind to push the limits of what the human body can do just to get a view from the top. So stay tuned, because we've got stories and activities coming up. What do you think of when you think of mountains? There's impressive-looking peaks right off the road here in town, like Barometer Pyramid, that we can hike in an afternoon. Or there's mountains like the Himalayas that people plan to climb for years. And then there's the creatures that live in mountains, like the abominable snowman and giants. Up next, we have a special guest, Shelley Eagle, reading one of my favorite childhood books about giants.
This story is about someone who lives in the mountains of Ireland. The story is Finn McCool, the Giant of Knockmany Hill, by Tommy de Paola. In olden times, when Ireland's glens and woods were filled with fairies and leprechauns, giants, too, lived on the fair Emerald Isle. One of the finest of those big folks was Finn McCool, who was wed to the lovely great lass Una. They made their home on top of Knockmany Hill. Now, as any good giant, Finn McCool had his work to do, so he was often away from home. Lovely Una didn't seem to mind, for there was plenty to keep her own hands busy, spinning, knitting, and even giving a pretty touch to their great house. Life was very pleasant indeed. One morning, when Finn McCool was busy working with his kin building a causeway in Scotland, the word came that Cuchulainn was coming. Cuchulainn was a giant, too, and without a doubt the strongest in that part of the world. When he walked, the very earth trembled, and with one blow of his fist he had flattened a thunderbolt so it looked like a pancake. He was so proud of that feat that he kept the thunderbolt in his pocket to show all just how strong he was. Every giant in Ireland had been given a good beating by Cuchulainn. Every giant, that is, except Finn McCool. And Cuchulainn swore by the green that he would never rest day or night, winter or summer, until Finn McCool was added to that list. So far, Finn had been smart enough. He kept moving about whenever he heard that Cuchulainn was in the neighborhood. But this time, Cuchulainn was sure to get him, so Finn left the causeway and sped off for Knockmany Hill, his house, and his darling Una. "Finn, my love," said Una, greeting him at the door, "what brings you home so early from your work?" "The chance to get a sight of you, my sweet thing," said Finn. Since he was as honest as the summer day is long, he added, "and to keep out of the way of Cuchulainn, he's after me." Una soothed her husband. She brought him slippers, lit a pipe for him, stirred up the peat fire so it would be cozy. Then she set down a huge mug of stout and cut a giant slab of soda bread for her dearie. "Finn, husband of mine, enough is enough," said Una as gently as she could. "For years you've been hiking around from one place to another to avoid Cuchulainn. Why, you even built our house high on this windiest of hills so you'd be able to spy him coming. You'll not get a moment's rest until you stand fast and face him." "Aye, I'll be getting plenty of rest if I stand fast and he knocks me down. I don't have the heart to face the man who can make a young earthquake just with his walk and who carries around a flattened thunderbolt in his pocket just to prove his strength." At that, Knockmany Hill gave a little dance. "He's coming," said Finn, his face turning a shade of pale green. "Now hush," said Una, "and give me time to think. Do you worry that I won't do all I can to help you settle this matter once and for all?" Una then worked a charm. The fairies had taught her. She took 9 woolen threads, each a different color, and braided them into 3 braids. She put 1 around her right arm, 1 circling her heart, and the 3rd around her right ankle. Now nothing she did could fail. Next she sent around to all the neighbors to borrow 1 in 20 iron frying pans. She hid them in 1 in 20 loaves of bread that she baked on the fire the usual way. She set them in the cupboard with some bread she had baked the day before. Then she took a pot of milk and made it into fresh wet cheese and put it along with some white stones at the foot of the cradle she had made up. "Now, my darling," she said, handing Finn some baby clothes, "put these on and do everything just as I'm about to tell you. And remember," she said at the last, "Cuchulainn's strength lies in the brass finger he has on his right hand. Now quick into the cradle, because I hear that man mountain at the door." "All right, woman," bellowed the giant at the door. "Where's that coward, Finn McCool? I've been chasing after him all this time." "Well, well," said Una with her sweetest smile. "Now, isn't that a shame? Finn was off working in the causeway when some important family affair called him away. But he'll be home by tea time, so why don't you just come right in and sit down?" Poor Finn trembled in the cradle. "See this," Cuchulainn said, pulling what looked like a pancake out of his pocket. "This was a thunderbolt until I caught it and flattened it. That's what I'm going to do with Finn McCool, too." "Tis, tis," said Una. "That may not be as easy as you think. Finn McCool's a big broth of a man. Why, take a look at our little baby, and you might be getting an idea of his strength and breadth of Finn McCool himself." Cuchulainn peeked in the cradle. "Chirp," said the huge baby, looking back at him. "My," said Cuchulainn, "what a big boy." "While you're waiting, why not have a bite to eat?" said Una. She put some of the loaves of bread on the table, along with a can or two of butter and a pile of cabbages. Cuchulainn was as much a glutton as he was a bully, popped a loaf into his mouth and took a huge bite, right down on one of the frying pans. Clang! "Yowl!" shouted Cuchulainn. "What kind of devil's bread is this? Here are 2 of my teeth out. That's Finn's bread, the only kind he eats, said Una. Is it a bit too tough for you? Too tough for me, shouted Cuculain. I should say not. Just give me another. Cuculain chomped into another loaf and into another frying pan. I'll not have a tooth left in my mouth, woman. There's two more out, Cuculain hollered even louder. The baby began to holler too. Hungry, hungry, hungry. Ah, sweet dumplin', said Una, and she handed baby Finn a loaf, and because there was no frying pan in it, Finn ate it right down. More, said the baby, and he gobbled up another loaf. He seems a strong lad, said Cuculain, getting a little worried. If this was the baby, the father must indeed be a bit stronger than Cuculain thought. Ah, yes, said Una, beaming. Why, instead of dollies, he loves to play with those white stones there in his cradle. Show the nice man, baby dear. Finn did as he was told. He picked up a stone that was really the cheese, and he squeezed all the water out of it and popped it into his mouth and ate it down. Cuculain was not to be outdone by a baby. He grabbed a stone, and he squeezed, and he squeezed, and he squeezed, and squeeze as he might, he couldn't get one drop of water out of it. He popped it into his mouth, and with a chomp, there went the rest of his teeth. The howl that came out of him almost broke all the windows, and when he finally calmed down, Cuculain said to Una, "What kind of teeth does that lad have? They must be made of iron. Let me see your chompers, baby." At that, baby Finn opened wide his mouth, and Cuculain stuck in his brass finger, the very brass finger that was the secret of his strength. With a strong bite, Finn McCool bit the brass finger right off. Up Finn leapt, and he began to pound the daylights out of poor weak Cuculain. That was that. Out the door went Cuculain, never to bother anyone, let alone Finn McCool again. "Tea's ready, my love," said Una, and Finn McCool sat down with the best giant wife in the whole world, and they lived a long and happy life.
Well, my daddy worked down in the dark coal mines, shoveling that coal one shovel at a time. Never made a lot of money, didn't have much, but we're high on life and rich in love. We're all singing dance and we ain't gonna stop, and the moonshine flows behind every rock. Heaven's not that far. High on a mountain top, we live, we love, and we laugh a lot. Folks up here know what they've got.
Giants are one of my very favorite creatures that live in the mountains. It's funny how we barely see them, even though they're so big. Up next, we have a resident mad scientist, Dr. Ivanov, with an activity on volcanoes.
Hello, young radio listeners. Volcano. What comes to mind when you hear the word volcano? A mountain spewing fire? What about the islands of Hawaii? Have you ever gazed upon one of Kodiak's beautiful mountain peaks and wondered, could that be a volcano? Don't worry. There are no active volcanoes on our island home. However, did you know your very own state of Alaska? There are over 40 active volcanoes. Can you believe that? More than 40 active volcanoes. Well, you have not to worry about one of Kodiak's own local mountains making a big fiery mess of an explosion. When one of Alaska's volcanoes does erupt, we may experience it in the form of ash. If you ever have been digging in the ground and found a tan, sand-like layer in the dirt, you may have found yourself some ash. Ash is made up of teeny, tiny particles of volcanic glass, rock, and minerals that have blasted out of a volcano and are often carried by the wind to far locations. Alaska's most famous eruption occurred over 100 years ago in 1912 with the volcano Nova Rupta. During that eruption, almost all the magma vented or exited out of Nova Rupta. However, most of the magma was actually stored beneath another volcano called Katmai. Once the magma chamber under Katmai emptied, the top of Katmai collapsed, causing a caldera, or crater, at the top of the mountain to form. Not all volcanic eruptions are the same. In the world of volcanology, or the study of volcanoes, volcanoes are characterized by many things, and one of them is viscosity, or resistance to flow. In general, the higher the magma's viscosity, the more explosive the eruption. The lower the viscosity, the gentler the eruption. The style of eruptions that created the Hawaiian Islands are typically less explosive and involve gentle lava flows. While some may believe these type of eruptions are less dangerous, they can still cause a lot of damage and almost nothing can stop the path of flowing lava. Volcanoes in Alaska are normally much more explosive than the Hawaiian style, erupting ash clouds to heights of 20,000 to 60,000 feet into the air. Once this ash is airborne, it can travel long distances, and these teeny tiny pieces can make it harder for people to breathe. They can obscure visibility and create problems for airplanes traveling in their path. In the 1912 Nova Rupta eruption, clouds of ash were blown over from the mainland to Kodiak, and about a foot of ash was deposited on the island. For this week's activity, we're going old school with a classic little experiment. You will be making your own volcanoes and calderas at home with a few ingredients. But before we begin, young volcanologists, I want to know, will your volcano have a violent, explosive eruption like Alaska's Nova Rupta, or a gentle, more flowing eruption like Hawaii's Mauna Loa volcano?
Volcano! Volcano! Volcano!
For this experiment, you will need a water bottle, or a cleaned and emptied condiment container, or even a cup or jar will work. Baking soda, vinegar. I found apple cider vinegar to work best, but white vinegar works great too. A few balloons, some soil, dirt, or sand, a sharpened pencil, water, food coloring, if you have it available. All right, young volcanologists, are you ready to build some volcanoes?
Volcano 1983, Krakatoa, Indonesia, one of the loudest volcanic eruptions ever recorded. With an eruption loud enough to be heard 3,000 miles away, it resulted in a tsunami so large, more than 30,000 people perished as a result. Another sobering reminder of the volcano's awesome strength.
Volcano!
carefully put about 4 tablespoons of baking soda into the empty water bottle. If you're using food coloring, you can add a few drops to the water bottle at this step. Then fill your balloon about 1/2 to 3/4 of the balloon's capacity and tie it off. Next, head outside. If you're using soil, you may need a bucket or wheelbarrow for a place to build your volcanoes. You can even do it in a garden bed if it's not already filled with vegetables or flowers. Another great place for this project is at the beach. Dig a hole big enough to fit your balloon and then very carefully cover it with soil, patting it down a little. Sometimes your balloon may pop at this point. That's okay. Blow up another one and try again. Next, to your balloon, dig another hole to fit your water bottle or vessel of your choice and cover the bottle with soil or sand up to its neck. Make sure to not cover the bottle's opening. Now, you can very carefully shape the soil around your balloon and water bottle in the shape of mountains. Will they be steeper, like a stratovolcano of Alaska, or gentler sloped, like a shield volcano in Hawaii? Adding some water to your soil or sand helps to shape your mountains. Now that you have your volcanoes ready, grab your sharpened pencil and poke the top of the mountain with the balloon inside. Watch as a caldera or crater forms as your volcano collapses where the balloon used to be. You may need to help push some of the soil or sand in the opening of your newly formed caldera. Next, grab your vinegar and pour about 1/4 cup into the opening of your water bottle volcano. Watch as your volcano erupts. After the eruption and caldera formation, don't forget to properly dispose of your balloons and water bottle. To learn more about volcanoes in Alaska, check out the Alaska Volcano Observatory at avo.alaska.edu. Here you can look at a map showing Alaska's volcanoes and click on little icons to get the scoop on any volcano you please. I hope you had fun, little volcanologist.
She's a geophysicist, and everybody at this meeting's also on the geolist. It takes a lot of disciplines to reconstruct the past, cause the time scale that we're dealing with is infinitely vast. Now I was just about to call this conference here to order when the volcanologist pulled out a little tape recorder. He said,
I'm about to get a grooving and a rhyming to a volcanologist, you know it's all about the timing.
The paleoclimatologist raised an objection.
The climate of this talk is moving in the wrong direction.
Don't make me lose my appetite,
said the mineralogist.
My stomach's moving left to right,
said the seismologist.
I'm shifting in my seat,
said the plate tectonicist.
When do we eat?
Said the biogeochemist.
Slow down.
Said the glaciologist.
Everybody settle down,
cried the sedimentologist. Now I could see this conference was dissolving into chaos. At any moment this could be a full-blown San Andreas. So I reached for the nearest thing that garnered my attention, and lifting high a glass, I addressed the whole convention.
Everybody grab a cup and let's propose a toast, cause the planet that we live on is our planetary host.
We all have different disciplines, there is no right or wrong.
I want to hear you click those buttons and hear you chant along.
I'm a geophysicist, he's a geophysicist, and everybody at this meeting also on the geolist. It takes a lot of discipline to reconstruct the past, cause the time scale that we're dealing with is infinitely vast. I'm a geophysicist, she's a geophysicist, and everybody at this meeting's also on the geolist. It takes a lot of discipline to reconstruct the past, cause the time scale that we're dealing with is infinitely vast.
Well, that's a wrap on today's mountain episode of the Baby Bunker. Do you have a favorite mountain on Kodiak? This last year, I practiced skiing down Pyramid with Oscar as much as I could. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.
Well, I went down to the tree, y'all, looking to forget you. Singing, and I wish I could.
the same I do. Get out of my head, give me back my heart, my nanny. So I won't. In the sky.